Before I read God's holy words, shall we pray? Almighty God and loving Father, thank you for this book. It's been marvelous learning about wisdom and the fear of the Lord. Learning how by wisdom you created all that is. And that wisdom that is truly offered to every believer by asking for wisdom. Thank you for the wisdom that changes the trajectory of lives and allow men and women, and particularly women tonight as we look at Proverbs 31, to live out their faith in effective ways. Guard the preaching, and especially the reading of your word. Be glorified in our midst, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And listen to this wonderful book, this wonderful chapter. Proverbs 31, I'll start with verse 10 and read to the end of the chapter. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. And with the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gate. Amen. To the reading of God's holy word. This morning I promised to tell you how this passage relates to a particular relationship and for a particular purpose. And so, what's the particular relationship? Well, let me first illustrate this by inviting you to go on my first date with my wife. This was about 35 years ago, a little more than 35 years ago. My wife agreed to go on a date with me, and so we went to a place called Friendly's. It was an ice cream shop and a food place. It was all I can afford at the time. So we went to Friendly's, and my wife sat across from me in a booth, and I sat across from her, and I kept my hands under the table. And we started talking. And so I would ask her questions, and she'd answer them, and I'd check something off, and I'd ask her another question, and she'd answer it, and I'd check it off. I don't know if it was a third or fourth question, but Lisa said, "What are you doing?" And I said, well, before I tell you this, this sounded right in my eyes at first, but I had created a list of everything I wanted in a wife. And what? And I, as she answered the question, she was checking them out. I mean, she was doing quite well. And if she let me finish, she would have got an A. What's amazing, though, is that she actually did marry me. I thought about that when I thought about this chapter, because sometimes we approach this chapter as if it's a list. When we're looking for a woman and we're asking her to check off all the boxes, and that's not at all the purpose of this letter, this portion of the chapter. This portion describes how wisdom is related in a particular relationship, that of husband and wife in this situation. It is not a list that we go around and ask every woman to go ahead and make sure she meets all the boxes. In fact, one of the best ways to study this chapter is to look at how other women in God's in Scripture show forth the characteristics that are listed in this chapter. And that's what I'm going to do tonight. We're going to talk about four women who show four different aspects related in this chapter. And I'm only going to share four because I don't want us to go too long. But I'm going to invite you to take the rest of this chapter and look and survey and see how God can use these gifts and celebrate how he's allowed other women throughout Christendom to show forth what wisdom really looks like in the body of Christ. Here's the other particular portion of this. Proverbs 31 recaptures a cultural mandate that women have been given by God. In Genesis 1:27, God told Adam and Eve to subdue and rule the earth. And as you look at this chapter, you will see aspects of a godly woman who employs wisdom in a way that she subdues and rules in her area of influence. There's two other things I wanted to say about this chapter. One is, when you look at the form of this chapter, this is beautiful. When you look at the form of this chapter, verses 10 to the end of the chapter is an acrostic, is a poem. Each verse begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it does that to set this apart from the others, to underscore this fact, that this is a summary statement about what it means to employ wisdom in daily life. And I love that God chose to include a wife in this, because when Eve was given the cultural mandate and Adam and Eve fell, she was still supposed to live out that mandate. But because of sin, we never do that well. And this chapter gives us the understanding that wisdom allows women to live out the cultural mandate well. It gives women the opportunity to say yes to the command of God and no to the structure of sin that tries to pervert and prevent women from living out their faith. And then the last thing I'll say about this chapter is that the third chapter of Proverbs and this chapter are very similar. In the third chapter of Proverbs, God describes wisdom, and he uses language that is very close to the language that he uses here. And what he's doing here is he's telling us that throughout everything that we've learned about wisdom here in our series, God is applying those principles in real life situations. And so Words like, she is more precious than jewels. Words like, in her left hand are riches and honor, and her ways are pleasantness. And do not be afraid of sudden terror, for the Lord will be your confidence. He will keep your foot from being caught. All of those things are found in this 31st chapter. Tonight, we'll briefly survey how wisdom teaches women to subdue and rule and gives us an opportunity not only to celebrate their faithfulness, but to pray for them as they do so. So let's dig into this. First, subduing. She subdues. To subdue means to make, to serve, and by forces if necessary. To change the course of a fallen condition and force faithfulness. Look at verse 20 of Proverbs 21. Look at verse 20. This is one example of how she subdues. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. One, I think, excellent example of this is Naomi, when she reached out her hand to Ruth and extended grace to her. I'm looking at my dear pastor friend who preached this passage on a different Sunday, and we have a different perspective on how this is how this fleshes out. But I want you to know that I think that Naomi was one who wisely spoke words to Ruth that allowed her to be in a situation where she can take part of levirate marriage. And that she told Ruth to go and present herself to Boaz. Boaz, who was incidentally the son of Rahab, and who understood what it meant to be a part of someone who was not initially a part of the covenant, who knew what it meant to be an outsider, and that this Boaz would go and take this Ruth, and God would call their heart together and knit their heart together. Here's the thing that made what Naomi did so strikingly wonderful. In Deuteronomy, Israelites were told not to work for the peace and prosperity of people in Moab because of the way that they treated Israelites. And I think that Naomi was brave enough not to treat Ruth in a way that her ethnicity, her culture, her country demanded. But she opened her mouth with wisdom and led her in a way where she was in the path that God could bring about that levirate marriage that would place Ruth into the lineage of Christ. A woman who fears the Lord and a woman who grants, who allows wisdom to be a part of how she lives, refuses to be shaped by society and shaped by our normal way of relating to one another, but looking at people from the lens and the perspective of how God can be applied in very difficult situations. Okay, there's another one I'd like you to look at. Look at the last part of verse 22. This one is an easy one. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. This reminds me of Lydia in Acts chapter 16. Lydia was a seller of purple. She was a businesswoman. She was a woman who opened her home to Paul and his companions. And because of her service, we learn in Acts chapter 16 that the church in Philippi was established. Wisdom allows a woman who is a person of means to use those means for the glory of God. She subdues. She is not willing to allow the normal examples of the fall to rule the way that she relates in society. Let's look at ruling. I wanted to talk to the sisters in our congregation. Sisters in Christ, think of how God placed you in his kingdom. Think about how he placed you in your spheres of influence, in your family, at your work, and where you volunteer. Your marital, social, and financial status does not indicate whether or not you have more influence or less influence in God's economy. The one thing that shows your influence is that you have the image of God, that you're an image bearer. And because of that, you have incredible, incredible influence. Rule means to have dominion over, that she leads in honoring the Lord. She leads by ruling for the glory of God. Look at verse 15. This is an example of leading that is so magnificent. Proverbs 31:15. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. When we started the book of Ruth, we were told that this happened at the beginning of barley harvest, of the barley harvest. We know that the barley harvest lasted between 6 and 8 weeks. For several weeks, Ruth went to a field, rose up early in the morning, and worked to provide for her household, to provide for Naomi. She was a picture of how wisdom shows the industrious strength of a woman. It shows that she works for the benefit of her family. There's one other that I'd like to share with you, and that is on verse 17. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Now, the woman that I'm thinking of here is not Naomi, is not Ruth, is not Lydia, but is Deborah. Remember Deborah in the Old Testament? Deborah was a judge. Now, the reason I'm thinking of Deborah is that this book was written in the time of the judges, so this would have been very relevant. Deborah was a prophetess and a judge, and she was one who told Barak, a general, she inspired him to serve. She inspired him to lead his army and fight for the people of God. And as you read the story, Barak said, he said to her, no. If you don't come with me, I won't go. And Deborah was someone whose might and strength was used by God to deliver Israel from the enemies. Was it because she was a remarkable woman? It was because she applied the fear of the Lord. She applied wisdom in the way that she served. So why do I share all of these? I want to communicate two things. Number one, this chapter is not about one woman doing everything that's in these verses, but it is about women actually applying wisdom in everyday situations to reclaim what God has called women to do in our creation, because you are an image bearer of God. Subdue and rule. Now, there's a population here that I didn't address, men. I don't know about you, but whenever I sit in a sermon where somebody is highlighted, I kind of sit back and go, whew. And I'm talking about me, I have nothing to do about this. This is, go get them, Ken. You tell those women, amen. You're not hard enough. You just give it to them. Let me share with you men, and I'm talking about myself too, what do we do with passages like this when it doesn't speak to us directly? Well, I think the first thing we do is pray. We pray for the godly women that are in our families and our congregations, and we pray that God would give them the courage to live out the call to subdue and to rule in a way that shows the wisdom of God that can make a difference in our society. We pray for them. We encourage them. We support them. We make it possible for them to serve in the way. We don't stand in the way of their service. We champion them. We support them. Oh, one of the most significant words about this woman we find at the end of this chapter. It's a simple phrase that can be lost and be overlooked, but I want to highlight it as a close, and it is this. She fears the Lord. She has a reverence for the Lord. And that is a beauty that goes beyond any adorning, any outside appearance, any outside beautification. It's a beauty that is magnificent, a woman that fears the Lord, that reveres the Lord, a woman that honors the Lord. I challenge you, dear sisters in Christ, you live in a society where fearing the Lord is not emphasized, is not celebrated, is not something that is promoted. Do it anyway. You live in a society where you are not told often that your cultural mandate to subdue and to rule still applies. Do it anyway. Look for opportunities to live out the wisdom of God related in this chapter in ways that can impact, astound, and greatly benefit not only the kingdom of God, but your communities. Shall we pray? Almighty God and loving Father, we thank you for the wisdom of your word and for the picture you've given us of a woman who fears the Lord. Teach us to treasure wisdom more than earthly praise, beauty, or success. Shape our hearts so that our reverence for you transforms the way that we live, serve, lead, and influence those around us. We thank you for the examples of Naomi, Ruth, Lydia, and Deborah, and the countless faithful women who have displayed courage, compassion, diligence, and godly strength. Help the women in our church to see the dignity of their calling as image bearers, and to embrace the places where you have called them to subdue and rule for your glory. And help all of us, men and women alike, to walk in the fear of the Lord, trusting Christ, loving what you love, resisting what sin has broken, and using every sphere of influence for the advancement of your kingdom. May our homes and our church and our community be marked by wisdom that comes from you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.